Okay, and we're live. So today we've got a great guest. It's Kevin Kaufman from Keller Williams. He's going to be talking a bit about what he does and some of the great things they're working on right now. So Kevin, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself?
Yeah, hey, thanks a lot, Ryan, by the way. I really appreciate you guys having me. So I'm Kevin Kaufman with Group 4610 in Tempe, Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona area. And, you know, it's fun. You know, so long ago now, 2007, when I got my real estate license, our market here was falling apart. And what I learned was I was going to have to do short sales or not be in business. And I took the short sales. I'm the weird guy. I kind of like them. I actually really, really like them a lot. And so over time, developed kind of my business around that. A lot of people know my business partner, Fred, and I, at least in the Keller Williams circles, is kind of like the short sale guys, because we've been fortunate enough to speak at some of the Keller Williams events like family reunion and do their short sale mastery tour. And you know, really what kind of got us started is we were willing to do stuff that other agents weren't. We were willing to work in a niche, short sales, that most agents at that time, 2008, 2009, were just completely unwilling to do. And so that really helped us kind of build up a brand within the real estate community,
right,
as well as a database, to be perfectly honest with you, that helps drive our business today, now that it's not so driven by the distressed market.
So we were talking earlier, and you'd mentioned that most of your business now is starting to shift into more of, you said, working your database and working from agent referrals. Prior to that, how much would you say was coming from the short sales?
Oh, my gosh. 99% or more. Let me give you an example. In 2008, my first full year in real estate, I got in the middle of 07, and 2008 is when Fred and I started working together. We closed 60 transactions that year on the list side.
Yeah.
Out of those 60, 59 of those were short sales.
Wow.
I think we did two quote-unquote regular or traditional sales in 2009, four in 2010, maybe five or six in 2011, and it really wasn't until 2012 that we even broke double digits, and we did about, I think it was 25 or 30 of them in 2012. And now, as I was sharing with you prior, you know, here it is, the end of 2013, and actually the majority of our new listings coming in are now traditional. We're still doing a lot of short sales because we focused on that niche so heavy and so hard for so long that we're still kind of known as the short sale guys to go to in Arizona.
Right.
But it's not the majority of our business anymore.
So for you, what was that? What caused that shift to go from just doing short sales into this new new market that you're focusing on?
Well, luckily, in Phoenix, let me give you an example. 2 years ago, the distressed market, so combining short sales and foreclosures, REOs, that made up anywhere from 65 to say 75 or 80% of the market. Today, it makes up less than 20% of the market.
Okay.
To be more specific, short sales make up less than 10% of the market. Most of our business has come through referrals, even not even just now, but even back in the day. We just weren't as aware. 2010, most of our business was coming from referrals from clients and referrals from other agents.
Right.
And because just from the nature of that being the majority of our business, as the market has shifted, our business has kind of shifted with it, if that makes sense.
Yep, for sure. So, I mean, for those of you, for the listeners who don't know you guys, can you give an example of the number of business that you got, the number of transactions you guys are doing? Because you guys are doing a pretty large scale operation you guys have.
Yeah, in fact, you know, I figured this out today for a business meeting I was at. We've closed just a hair under 1,000 transactions in 2008. So Fred and I started working together, Fred Weaver, my business partner, in February of 2008. And since that time, we've closed just a hair under 1,000 transactions.
Wow.
The vast majority of those are short sales by far. Like I said, it wasn't until this year until we really started doing a lot of equity or quote-unquote traditional sales. So that's you know, on average, call about 155, 160 deals per year on average since 2008.
Okay, so that's a good number for most agents to aspire for. So now, in working your database, that's obviously the new niche you guys are working after. How much of that is coming from the short sales that you had bought and sold in the past, and how much is it just your sphere of influence and things like that now?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because now we're starting to see more and more of our past short sale sellers who are becoming buyers. So on the buy side of our business, that's really starting to become I could think of probably three or four in the last 45 days deals that we closed for buyers that were actually former short sale sellers of ours. So that side has picked up. I mean, when you look at it, we've got, call it roughly 600 past clients that are short sale clients.
Right.
We've got, I mean, that's 600 buyer opportunities just waiting to happen at some point between, you know, now and the next two or three years. Those are people that are now, because of the guidelines, can be back in the market. And so we're doing our best to just stay in front of those people, let them know that we're here and that we can help them. So that's a good portion of it. And the good thing is, too, though, the other part of it is, as you mentioned, the sphere. It's just those, whether they are past clients or not, or their friends and family members, they think of us for real estate needs. And so it may not be them that need the transaction, but they're sending their friends or their family members to us.
Right.
And so that's also another good chunk of it.
Yeah, and if you guys took care of them that well during the process, obviously a short sale time is not a easy time for anybody. So, I mean, if you took care of them, they're obviously going to be more likely to refer you and pass you on.
Yeah, and that was, you know, that was the plan. A lot of people told us, and especially in 2008 when we first started working together, that we were being short-sighted and that going the short sale route wasn't the way to go. And that we should be chasing REOs, actually. I can't tell you how many times I was told that. But Fred and I had a real, very real conversation that said, hey, I don't want to work for a bank. I'm not there to serve an institution. What I would like to do is work for people because they'll buy again.
Right.
They've got friends. They've got family members. If we can help them out probably what's the toughest time in their life financially, they're going to remember us. And so we kind of took it with that approach, and thank God it's starting to pay off.
So now the other side of it, you said, is getting a lot of agent referrals. The first time I met you was, or spoke with you, I was at Family Reunion a couple of years ago. You guys were on a panel and you guys were speaking. Actually, I think it was for Recruit Select you guys were talking about. So you obviously are well known within the real estate community, especially in Keller Williams. So what are you doing to get business from other agents that way?
You know what? I think what we found is, and what we found out first is, and we actually taught this in some of our short sale classes. We used to tell agents, hey, listen, go teach classes for free in your market center, in your area, in your city, in your town. Offer to be that source, because what will happen is people will come for the information. They'll appreciate, truly honest and open, and want to help other people. They'll appreciate that. And the thing is, they're not going to always want to do the short sale.
Right.
So they'll send the referrals to you. Well, what we learned later is that that's true on a national basis, too. So I don't even think it matters the subject that you're speaking on or teaching or sharing about. What we found is whenever we get in front of a group of other agents and we're sharing something, like we're truly coming from like a place of contribution, trying to help their businesses get better, whether that be about short sales or Recruit Select or, you know, how to do 100 deals a year, whatever the case is, most agents are bound to remember that and think of you for the referral. So it's been really good for out of state and out of country referrals from people, you know, from Canada, from all over the United States. You know, we're lucky in Phoenix. This is a great second home market. There's a lot of people with vacation homes here and rental homes that live in another city and state. So we know that we've got to take advantage of the kind of the connection in the real estate community and go after those referrals. And the way we do that is just quite simply by giving back and trying to share what's working for us, whether that be about short sales or a different subject.
Yeah. And for me, I found that so true. This summer I started doing some speaking in the area. I started doing training at some of the different Keller Williams offices. I think I did about 15 or 20 speaking gigs, and just the connections I've made from that, and people now know me as a professional, and they started talking to me, sending me business. It's just been a phenomenal way to get in front of people. And when I teach people how to get business, that's the one thing I say is teach. Go back, give out. There's something you know that other agents probably don't know, and you can share that, and people are more than happy to do it, which is why I started this podcast, to share with other agents ideas, not just on my own, but from other agents who are doing it. So it's definitely a great way to do it.
It is, and you know, if you think about it, Gary Keller is always big about agents going back and teaching other agents. And the reason he's big about it is because that's the best way to master a subject is to teach it.
Yep.
So there's that whole other aspect to it that, I mean, I didn't even share, but when we used to teach classes around the Phoenix area, and we taught probably as few as two times and as many as five times a month for free around Phoenix and just on short sales, what we learned is that, number one, the referrals came, but number two, we were actually kind of sharpening our skills.
Yep.
And we were getting better as we were teaching the quote-unquote way, the right way to do things, if you will. And I got to tell you, the other thing that still to this day, here we are at the end of 2013, there's classes I taught in 2000, presentations I made in 2008 that opened up some doors and some relationships for me that have been key in my career.
Right. And you may, yeah, exactly. You may not see the effects of it right away, but down the road, what that opens up will be huge for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what would you say you do differently than as far as staying in front of your database and as far as agents as well that most agents don't do?
Well, yeah, and let me kind of, if I could, just kind of confess. A year ago today, if we had this conversation, Ryan, I wouldn't be able to be as clear and direct,
right,
and have as much clarity in it, because I didn't even know this. Like I told you, we were getting our business from our database and from agents for years. We weren't totally aware of that.
Right.
So about a year ago this time, we actually did research on our closings and where they were coming from. And we found where they were coming from, and which I've already shared with you.
Yep.
So what we said is we've got to start taking care of these people. We've got to take care of our clients, our data. And we do those a little bit differently. But the way we take care of our database of quote-unquote clients and sphere of influence, friends, family members, et cetera, is number one, we said we've got to start calling these people. This is so basic, by the way, not rocket science. We've got to start calling them 2 to 3 times a year.
Right.
Like, make a personal call. Hey, Ryan, it's Kevin. How you doing? Yada, yada, yada. Let me know if I can do anything for you. In addition to that, we started sending 2 personal emails a year, too, meaning same thing. Hey, Ryan, I was thinking about you. Hope everything's going well for you. You know, whatever I know personal about you that I can inject into that conversation, I do. So that was kind of like phase one that we started rolling out at the beginning of, or towards the end of last year. And then phase two is really just now occurring. So you probably know this because we're friends on Facebook, but we did our first annual pie giveaway.
Yeah.
So the week of, and we bought, I don't know, you know, pies for, we sent out an invitation, a postcard to every single past client we have an address for that lives here locally in Arizona. We sent them emails, and I called as many of them as I could, too, and said, hey, listen, we want to buy a pie for your family's Thanksgiving dinner. We built a little landing page for them on our website. They filled it out, said, I want apple or I want pumpkin. We bought them really nice pies, and they came down and picked them up. And it was a really great way for us to kind of reconnect and give back, because what we wanted to do is we wanted to tell our database, we're not just looking to ask you for business. We want to ask you how we can get, we want to give to you also.
Yeah.
So that was kind of that. Step two will be actually on the 1st of January. We've got something called Group 4610 Rewards, which is literally just going to be as simple as us sending out a script to our database of past clients that says, hey, we want to know who you know.
Right.
And we'll, if you share this status on Facebook or this email, we're giving them, like, you know, a ton of different ways to share, however they feel comfortable with it.
Yep.
Basically, we can, through our CRM system, somebody signs up to receive a free report or whatever offer it is that we're giving them, we can track it to them, and if they get 5 people to sign up to receive our information, we're going to give them a $50 gift card to a local restaurant.
Wow.
That type of thing. So that, because we just want to capture, we know at this point, we know the name of the game is data,
yep,
right? And it's thinking about us with real estate. So that's kind of the next step. And then the step after that is in the spring is we're going to have a movie day.
Okay.
So it's going to be on a weekend. We're going to rent out one of the big theaters here in town. We're going to pay for the whole theater. We're going to invite all of our clients and their families. They can come down, buy them popcorn and soda and candy and whatever, just as another way to say thank you and kind of get in front of them again without us just calling them for a real estate referral. So we're going to do that. We've got one other idea that I'm blanking on for some reason right now. kind of another family day type of thing. It won't be the movies. It'll be something kind of based around what as a way to give back like that. And then next year, came up with the idea too late, and it's not new. I just found out there's another group doing it actually in the Seattle area. But we're going to just do a Santa Day at our office next year. So instead of folks having to take their kids to the mall and wait in line for 2 or 3 hours, we're going to have them sign. I'm going to hire a Santa. They're going to Santa and the elves.
The real Santa, right?
Oh, real Santa. This will be the guy from
right.
the North
okay.
Pole.
Okay, I thought so. Okay.
We'll come to the office, and we'll just do family days and Santa pictures at our office, and it'll be free for our clients. We'll pick up the cost, and, yep. you know, we'll buy them stuff like that, and just, you know, do that in a more friendly environment and more personal than, like, popping into the mall.
Right.
And so those are, you know, we've got to do to really give back. Like, Gary, you know, because we connect on Facebook, but, like, I'm a big believer. I love what Gary Vaynerchuk does. I love his story. I love the way he does things. And one of the things luckily, he was in town last week talking about his new book, Jab, 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 Right Hook. And one of the things he said is, you know, I think people have it so messed up, everybody's going wide. I'm trying to go deep.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what we're doing with our database. We're trying to go deeper. We want it to get wider, but we know the way it gets wider is by us spending our effort going deeper with those people.
Yeah. I think, and a lot of agents miss the boat on the future value and the long-term value of a client. And they look at the per transaction cost of what it costs to get a client, and they're just trying to get more new business. And if they just spent the time and money on the past clients they already have or the center of influence they have and spent that money and attention on them, they're going to get way more down the road, I think.
Oh, guaranteed. You know, it's funny because I've spent some time this year really evaluating our model, going, are we doing the right thing? And I met with some people that have, you know, they operate very differently than what we're talking about operating.
Yep.
And it doesn't work because these guys are very successful. I mean, one guy sells 300-400 houses a year, another guy sells 700-800 houses a year.
Yeah.
And I'm talking, that model works for them, but it works for them. That's what they're comfortable doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of like the thing in real estate, right? You just got to pick what is it that works for you? What is it that you like to do? Because all of the things that we've heard about work.
Yeah.
It's a matter of if do it or not.
And that's exactly what this podcast is about, is saying, pick something, do it well, and do it often, and the more you do that, the better you're going to get at it. And the problem with a lot of real estate training is there's so much out there, and I always say this when I talk to agents, is the great thing about real estate is the worst thing about it is there's so many opportunities and so many different types of people that come in this business that everybody does it differently. If you look at teachers or doctors or police officers, most of them have the same type personality, and they all do the same kind of thing, and they attract the same type of person. With real estate, it's everybody from all walks of life. And the great thing is you can do business from all walks of life. So I just say just do one thing and find it and master it and own it.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's so true. Well said.
So from the future-wise, I mean, you gave some of the ideas that you're working on. Where do you see your business going then for you guys?
Let me give you an example. So this year was actually a kind of a quote-unquote down year from a number of units.
Right.
We're gonna sell 150 units this year as our market shifted. Now, overall, our market went backwards a little bit. Not that much.
Right.
Not as much as we. But it's a shifting year for us. We've shifted from a staff standpoint, from a just going, hey, man, we got to pay attention to our database. So we know our foundation. We believe that our foundation is 150 deals a year, meaning if we just didn't do anything different, we'd be doing 150 deals a year for the rest of our life.
Right.
And to be honest, that's okay. That's great. I mean, our price points are not as good as yours.
Yep.
So that's awesome. But it's a good living, right?
Yep.
We could go on.
Yep.
But the reason is Fred and I are get bored easy and so we need more. So our goal next year is to do 300 transactions. And I don't know if going from 150 to 300 is doable or not. I know I've got a plan in place that I think gets us there. And the way I think that we get there, Ryan, is that we continue to go deeper in our database.
Yep.
And do that as best we can. And then we've got to do things that we have not currently done.
Right.
And so one of those things would be radio. Right?
Okay.
You know, are going with a very specific radio campaign. We're moving forward with that. We're moving forward with a farming campaign. And I think those things, while they have a higher cost, as you mentioned, like it costs more to acquire a new customer. We're totally aware of that. But we also know if we want to get our goals, we have to acquire new customers.
Right.
So if you continue to acquire new customers in new ways, what we currently do to acquire customers and retain customers. And so it's gonna be a big growth period for us, and we're going to do some things we've never done before to try to get some results we've never had.
I think it sounds like since you've started, you've been growing. So a lot of agents, I find, get stuck and stagnant. They do one thing, and that's the downfall of doing one thing, is they don't change it. They figure out something that works, and they don't look at how to grow it or what's changing. So, I mean, you guys are always looking ahead, which is fantastic. The one thing, important thing I think you brought up earlier was you mentioned how you went back and looked back at your business of where it was and where it came from. And I find a lot of agents don't reflect on that, and they assume that a lot of their business is coming from A, and really when they look back at it, a lot of it's coming from B. And if you look at that, you can kind of see where your business is going or where it should be going. So,
yeah, I completely agree with that. Most agents it's not even real estate. I'm in a couple networking groups and stuff like that. I know a lot of other business owners outside of real estate, and the thing that I've noticed is it's not just real estate agents, but it seems like the majority of small business owners are not necessarily in tune with what makes them successful.
For sure, yeah.
And so it's just something that it's a reminder to me to make sure I am successful. And if I could go backwards for a minute, because you said something that sparked something for me.
Yeah.
Gary Keller this year at Family, or not Family Union, but at Mega Agent Camp, was kind of talking about the evolution of what he calls them, the mega agents, the real estate agent that does a massive amount of business. And something he said stuck out to me, and I've heard him say it before, just it never hit me like this, but he mentioned how the agent that really becomes massive over time is the agent that masters something.
Right.
And then they've got it mastered, they can maintain that level, and then they go add the next thing. So maybe the first thing is cold calling for, FSBOs or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
And for sale. And then the next thing is maybe it's radio, right? And so then they add radio.
Yeah.
And then so 2 or 3 years later, they add farming. And they keep all those things running. They don't go to the next thing until they got the first thing mastered.
Yeah.
And they don't stop the first, they do the next thing.
Yeah.
They keep doing a high level.
Right.
And it just, so Gary's whole point was that is when you do that over time, 12, 15, 20 years, that's how you grow a massive real estate business. It's like the new, quote unquote, perfecting it, if you will, if that's even something that we can do, but getting really good at it.
Yep.
At that level, and then adding the next thing. But it's not like let's go do 10 new things tomorrow. It's let's do this one thing really amazingly right now. And then when we can put that on autopilot, that's when we go do the next one.
Exactly. And that's what the show is all about, because a lot of agents, they think they're going to miss out by not doing all those things. They think if I'm not doing door knocking, if I'm not doing open houses, if I'm not doing newspaper advertising, if I'm not doing a billboard, I'm going to miss out on all that business. And they just are short-sighted in that. They're looking for a piece of everything. And it's exactly like you said, if you do one thing and get good at it, then you can add to it and build on that. And when you do that, that's when you grow the foundation of a serious business. So.
Absolutely.
Okay, so just wrap up quickly. So why don't you always finish off with a golden nugget? So why don't you give us a good takeaway for our listeners from your experiences and what you guys have learned, something that we can take away.
What I've learned the longer I've been in the business, and which is really funny to me, because when we started teaching classes, one of the points we emphasized was the fact that we were closing a lot of deals, and I hadn't even had my license for a year. And I've now had it for, since 2007. So I'm trying to do math in my head, 6.5 years. What I've learned in my 6.5 years is that it really comes down to the basics. And you actually just nailed, you kind of stole my thunder the wrong way, Ryan. It's the fact that it really is the basic things. And there are so many things in our industry that work if we're just willing to do them. They're not always sexy, and they're not always fun, and they're not always the cool thing to do, But man, I gotta tell you, while I didn't build my business this way, I certainly know a lot of people who did by just picking up the phone and cold calling people. And I know a lot of people who did it from FSBOs and from knocking on doors and from farming, and from internet marketing and things like that. And it's just impossible to be good at all of that from the get-go. So I think what you have to do is just understand who you are, understand who we are as people, and then go do the thing that complements your behavior, your skill set the best. Make that the first thing or two that you really build on before doing something else. And you've got to be able to say no to all the distractions, because there's a lot of distractions in our industry. You really do. And in fact, there's a gentleman by the name of Russell Shaw, who's quoted a Millionaire Real Estate Agent, I'm sure you know, and they've heard of him. He's a friend of mine. Russell, one time in a conversation, and I think it's also on one of his blogs, pointed out the fact that he thought the problem with most agents is that everyone wants to think outside of the box. And the problem with thinking outside of the box is that most agents don't take the time to think inside the box first. Right. And I just think it comes down to that, thinking inside the box first. Yeah.
Okay, so for the people listening, what's the best way to get a hold of you, find out what you're doing, and find out, see what you guys are up to?
Best way is kevinandfred.com. So we used to have a blog, as you know, called Short Sale Power Hour. We kind of got tired of talking about short sales all the time. And, you know, after about 1,000 videos, we got tired of it. So we now have a blog that, to be perfectly honest, we don't post to on a regular basis. It's probably 2 to 3 times a month. But it's about real estate. Sometimes it's about short sales. Sometimes it's just about something that hit us, you know, struck us, that helped us in our business. So kevinandfred.com is really the best way. There's a contact us that if you just click that, it sends an email to me and to Fred directly. So we get a lot of questions and stuff like that through there. I mean, that would be the best way, kevinandfred.com. And if anybody wanted to connect or had any questions or follow-up, I'd love to be able to answer them and help out.
Awesome. So thank you again for being on. We really appreciate it. And good luck to you this year and when you launch that new program in January.
Perfect. Hey, Ryan, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate having me on today.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.